Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'd like to thank you for tuning in to the World Boxing Review Radio Show. Hi, my name is Aaron Snowell. They call me the Trainer of Champions. And online, right now from studio, we have the radio aficionado, Bob, for our first show of 2018. How you doing, Bob?
Hey, good morning, Aaron. Good morning, everybody. Yeah, nice to talk to you on a... Hey, you know, we're up here freezing. I know you are too, Aaron. We had some wild weather. We got about 5 degrees outside right now, but it's hot in the studio, baby.
That's good. Hey, look, we're
cranking it up for 2018.
Yeah, it's the winter is living up to the hype in January, you know, for the new year, man. It's really winter weather, man. So, hey, look, it's a good thing. What do we got, Bob, for 2018?
Yeah, we're starting to get a little bit heated up, too, pardon the pun, but, right now, tonight, there's a few things going on, and we'll start with the vacant WBC Asian Boxing Council Continental Lightweight title. That's up for grabs today in China as Yong Qiang Yang, he's 8-0, he battles Robert Copa Palouet. 14-6-3. Also on the card, super featherweight LaShawn Lee, overall record of 14-3-1. He faces Juni Salojael, 13-11-4. Also undefeated bantamweight Yeli Kiati Naihem Aituola, 18-0-1. He fights ring veteran Aikal Tobita. He comes in with a record of 13-23-1. The WBO Latino welterweight title will be on the line tonight in Buenos Aires, Argentina, in a great rematch between Gabriel Angel Ledesma, 11-1, and Carlos Daniel Aquino, 17-3, in the WBA Fitterball bantamweight title fight between Jose Velasquez, 16-6-2. He takes on Diego Luis Liriano, 17-14-1, tonight in Quelon, Chile. Tallinn, Estonia, female featherweight Elena Gardiner, 7-0, fights Karolina Kopinska, 10-22-3, and super welterweight Pavel Semjanov, 21-8-2, steps in against Alexander Ivanov. He's 13-3. That's an 8-rounder. And then we also have super bantamweight undefeated Isaac Dogbo. He's 17-0. He seeks the interim WBO world title in a 12-round matchup with Cesar Juarez, taking place in Accra, Ghana tonight. Also in Perpignan, France, super lightweight Awesome Gallum and Mohamed Larabi go at it. And back in the U.S., things are still going to start heating up to the end of the week. Thursday, the 11th, at the Tachi Palace Casino in Lemoor, California, Danny Valdivia. He's 14-1-0. He meets Vladimir Hernandez with a record of 9-2 at the clash of middleweights. Joe Louis Lopez, he's 9-2. He fights Calvin Metcalf, 7-1 in a battle of super middleweights. While super featherweight Victor Morales Jr., he's undefeated, 7-0. He steps in against Edgar Cantu, who's 7-2-2. And then this Friday night, things start picking up in Verona, New York, at the Turning Stone Resort and Casino. We have super middleweight and two-time Olympic gold medalist Clarissa Shields. She'll defend her IBF World Female Super Middleweight title and her WBC World Female Super Middleweight title in a matchup with undefeated Tori Nelson. She steps in with 17-0-3 record. That's going to be a good one. We'll talk about that in a couple minutes. Also undefeated middleweight Christina Hammer. She's 22-0. She fights Lisa Noel Garland, 15-9. Also, two undefeated super lightweights meet 10-0 Sojahan Ergashev versus 18-0 Sonny Fredrickson, and heavyweights Apti Davatayev, 13-0. He steps in with Craig Lewis, 14-1-1. Also, coming up on Friday night, the 12th, in Cordoba, Argentina, 8-0-2, Juan Jose Balmaceda takes on fellow welterweight Gabriel Alejandro Funes. He's a ring veteran with a record of 18-16-4. And over in Tokyo, Japan, Tatsuya Takahashi, 27-7-5, battles Keita Nakano. He's 14-12-6. That's a super bantamweight duel. As I said, things are going to start heating up in the next couple of months. But I did want to pass along some news from New Year's Eve. There was an upset. Hiroto Kiyoguchi, he's now 9-0, 7 KOs. He wins the IBF World Minimum Weight title with an 8th-round TKO over previous champion Carlos Buitrago. It was now 33-1. Also, some other news. We'll get into some of the Parker and Joshua stuff, but I just want to pass along word about Manny Pacquiao. There's rumor now that he might fight former WBO light welterweight champ Mike Alvarado in April in Mexico. And this fight would kind of serve as the warm-up for Pacquiao to get ready to fight the winner of a Jeff Horn, Terrence Crawford, WBO welterweight championship fight. Details are still being finalized on that Horn and Crawford fight. And also some news in the heavyweight division there, Aaron, too. Like, you know, Alexander Povetkin, he's getting his name in there. Of course, we got the Joshua and Parker thing happening. And lots of action as we step into 2018, all the way from, new champion at the minimum weight class, all the way up to some interesting fights happening in the heavyweight. So we'll warm up in the ring, man. You know, things are happening.
Well, that's definitely a thing. You know, with Parker and Joshua, man, that's an exciting fight over there in England. We'll take a look at Parker today, I guess. A lot of people know about Anthony Johnson with that big win over Klitschko and then coming back and defend it. But Parker, he has a couple good names underneath his belt in the heavyweight division. A fighter that I used to train, Francois Botha, he did beat Botha. He stopped Botha. And also from down under, Cowie Meehan. If you don't remember Cowie Meehan from down under, he had Lehman Brewster in trouble. Lehman Brewster had beat Klitschko, had stopped him, and one of his title defenses for that title that he had, he fought Cowie Meehan. And Cowie Meehan from down under had Lehman Brewster. Oh, man, it was a thrilling fight, but Brewster made a comeback. Cowie Meehan, who's 6'4". And plus, Parker has fought tall guys. He has quite a few wins over guys that are 6'7", 6'8". So, man, this is turning into a real interesting fight because you have two champions here, you know, and this is to make them undisputed champion now. Well, with that Wilder fight coming up here in the United States, and that fight, man, the heavyweight division is back on the draw. And, man, let me tell you, the way it's looking on paper, man, with that Anthony Joshua, Parker's etching up in terms of looking good. And here's what else about Parker. Parker is a busy fighter for a heavyweight his size. He throws a lot of good combination. He comes forward. He can box in and out. And he packs a punch, too. So this is an interesting fight. To look at Joshua, I think he has to go back in his repertoire for this fight and not so much be a lean, mean fight machine where he can match the punch count of Parker. And, man, this is a great fight, Bob.
Yeah, and you think last time that Joshua might have been a little heavy, too. You're talking about the muscle weight and stuff. So, you know, that's, I think, a concern, too, for Joshua's people to look at, see where he comes into the fight, what's he going to weigh, and what's his body type going to be like.
Well, you know, guys, a lot of times, there's nothing wrong with sports-specific training, increasing certain things of conditioning. But the old-fashioned thing, like they say, and this is sports-specific, is that it's boxing. You have to practice boxing against resistance, and that's the way that you get strong. And this boxing is a science, and that's the science to your to the sport. Anytime you find guys want to go to the fitness gym more than they want to go to the boxing gym to practice left hooks, right hand for coordination, and working on the road is near the end when you want to go to the fitness gym more than the boxing gym. Hey, bro, like it says, boxing hurts sometime, but you got to go through it to get to it. There's no shortcuts for success.
Right. Yeah, okay, good. And, you know, the other name, too, we got Povetkin sticking his name in there, too, you know. So all these things are going to happen. And You know, we even have, we said the Pacquiao thing's coming in this year, too. Maybe he'll get the fight. And lots of good things looking forward to in 2018, all throughout the divisions, too. As they're all the way down from the minis and the females, too. You know, we got Clarissa Shields. She's going to step in. You know, the two-time gold medalist. We've talked about her in the past. And, you know, you cannot talk about Christina Hammer. She's that undefeated middleweight. You know, she's 22-0. She's tough, too. And, you know, we got some really good action to look forward to coming up in the next couple of months here in early 2018.
Well, Bob, women's boxing, man, is making a complete turnaround. You're seeing more women understand the science of boxing, the hit, not get hit, offense, defense. And, man, let me tell you what. Those women are packing a punch, man. The way you see them deliver those punches, you know, and their technique now has improved, oh, man, 100, 200%, man, with conditioning, training, and things. So that's a good matchup for a unification belt fight. I think they have two belts on the line, and I think that's a good matchup.
She's a super middleweight, and Hammer is the middleweight, so maybe somewhere they'll find an in-between ground and get the match up maybe somewhere down the road, too. But, you know, there's not giving Shields that fight over Tori Nelson, too. She's really a great fighter. And, you know, looking forward to see what happens there next Friday night, too, as we get back into some of the stateside fighting, too. It's going to start heating up, too. Been off for a couple weeks here with the holidays, but now we're getting into it.
Oh, absolutely, Bob. And, you know, we have our boxing historian online here with us, man. We have Henry Haskopp, man, with Archie Moore. He's going to be talking about Archie Moore. What a fighter. Welcome to the World Boxing Review radio show. Henry, how you doing?
I'm doing well. It's a little cold over here, but we're doing well. How about you guys?
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Yeah, I've been shoveling snow the last couple of days.
Hanukkah, you know, all the good things that it comes for the holidays. And the
that's
whole
right.
Home, well, like Santa says.
Was he good to you? Yeah. Well, tonight, you know, today or this morning, we're going to be talking about Archie Moore, one of the greatest fighters ever stepped into the squared circle. You know, it's a kind of dispute on when he was actually born. It was December 13th, either 1913 or 1916. He says it was 1916. His mother said 1913. But anyway, you know, when he was like 1.5 years old, you know, his father kind of left the household, and his mother was very young, you know, a very young teenager, only in mid-teens, and so his mother gave Archie up to his brother and his wife, and their name was Cleveland and Willie Pearl Moore. So instead of, you know, keeping the name Wright, he went to the name Moore. After all, his mother's maiden name was Moore. So he grew up as Archie Moore, and that's how he changed his name. You know, later on, he became, you know, a pretty good kid. But when Cleveland, his uncle, died, who was really Archie's idol at the time, you know, he used to marvel about how many muscles he had and everything like this. But when he died, he kind of went the wrong way a little bit, and you know, he stole something from a railroad, you know, cart or something like this. It was only about $5, but he was put in reform school. That kind of straightened him out. He went to the CC camps after that, and, you know, they said, man, you know, all you do is exercise, and you get paid to do it. So he kind of liked that, and then he got into boxing, you know, first as an amateur, you know, early 30s, and then around 1935, he actually, you know, was called out of the audience to fight, you know, a professional fight. But that wasn't too good, because when he went back to the amateurs, they found out about it, and, you know, he couldn't fight anymore as an amateur fighter. So he really wanted to go to the 1936 Olympic Games, But that was put on, you know, that was put to bed because of his getting money for some professional fights. But anyway, he started his professional career then, and you know, he rode the rails just like Jack Dempsey. You know, he couldn't get to places because he didn't have the money and everything like this. But lo and behold, he started winning almost all his fights. And then around July of 1940, he actually became a top 10 contender in the middleweight division. And he would stay as a top 10 contender just about all his career. But in February 21st, 1941, he fought a guy by the name of Eddie Booker to a draw. And then the very next day, he was out there mowing the lawn, and all of a sudden he felt a severe pain in his belly, in his stomach. And, you know, it was so painful that he was rushed to the hospital and everything, and he had a perforated ulcer, and they had to operate on him, and then he developed pneumonia. And, you know, they said he was never going to fight again because he went down to around 100 pounds. I mean, he was really sick. But, you know, he got a job and everything like this, and a regular job. And then he showed the guy at work his scrapbook. And, you know, he says, "You were a fighter?" He said, "Yeah, I'm going to be a fighter again." And lo and behold, it was like 11 months later, you know, he got back into the ring. Now, his stomach was really hurting him bad. So what they did was on this, you know, the protective cup they had, you know, they actually put, you know, it's illegal, but they actually put a California license plate underneath. Yeah, underneath his protective cup. Yeah, the license plates at that time were like twice as long as they are now. So it kind of wrapped around his whole front. Now, Archie claims that he wore that for over 2 years because of his stomach. You know, his stomach was still in pain. So he would wear that. And, you know, nobody said nothing because nobody knew it. So it was pretty, you know, pretty cool. But he was like a freak of nature. Like he like the speed bag, he'd do 800 to 900 times in a round. He would hit that speed bag. He'd walk on his hands even up the stairs. You know, he was rated number one in three different weight classes, you know, from the middleweight class, light heavyweight, and, of course, the heavyweight division. I mean, he fought 15 different Hall of Famers, which is an all-time record tied with a guy by the name of Harry Greb. You know, nobody's ever done that before. But for years, he, like I said, he was rated first in 1940, but it wasn't until the end of 1952 that he'd get a shot at a world title, and that was against Joey Maxim. Now, a few things happened in that fight, you know, before the fight. One was that Jack Kearns, you know, he was Maxim's manager, and he's also Jack Dempsey's manager, made arrangements that he would get X amount of money from Moore for the rest of his career, like he'd own him, you know, own a part of him if he would win. And the other thing was that he reunited with his father. He traced his father down, and his father actually attended that fight in against Maxim. And, of course, he beat Maxim for the World Light Heavyweight Championship. And, you know, he stayed champion for over 9 years. And, of course, during that time, you know, around 1955, you know, he challenged Rocky Marciano for the heavyweight championship of the world. Now, before that, he would beat a lot of the top heavyweights, you know, during that time, including Nino Valdez, who was outstanding. He would defend his title against a guy by the name of Harold Johnson. He beat him, like, 4 out of 5 times. He knocked him out in the 14th round when he defended his title. But he knocked Marciano down in the second round. But then, of course, Marciano got up and, you know, stopped Moore later on in the fight. And then later, you know, about a year or so later, you know, Marciano, of course, retired early in 56. And then Moore was matched with a young 21-year-old Floyd Patterson. And Patterson was just too quick for him. And some people, you know, claim that Archie Moore actually overtrained for that fight. So, you know, he continued to fight all the way up to 1963, you know. And, you know, the thing is that a lot of people say about Floyd Mayweather, like he fought McGregor. McGregor wasn't, you know, a regular professional fighter. How can that be? You know, 50-0, and Marciano's 49-0. Well, Archie Moore, his last fight was against a guy by the name of Mike DiBiase, who was a professional wrestler. You know, I don't know if you ever heard of the Million Dollar Man, but the Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase, his stepfather was Mike DiBiase. And,
funny about that. We used to call my brother that. What was DiBiase?
But anyway, Moore actually fought three wrestlers. So if you're going to take that win against Mayweather away, you got to take the three against Archie Moore. And the thing about the wins with Archie Moore, they all ended the same way. I mean, I'm a big wrestling fan, but, you know, a lot of this stuff is choreographed and everything like this. And they all ended the exact same way. In the third round, it was stopped by an eye cut, a cut eye. So, you know, I mean, up until a few years ago, Archie Moore was said to have more knockouts than any fighter in history. But then, you know, as people do more research and everything, they found another guy by the name of Billy Byrd from overseas. You know, he had 138 knockouts, you know, more, you know, depending on what source you have. You know, had either 129, 130, 132. You know, they go all the way up to 145. But I don't think anybody's going to, come to a conclusion exactly how many he's ever had. But after his career, I mean, he would raise the money for a blind girl. He'd be he was an Olympic boxing team coach for Nigeria. He also, in 1965, he ran a club called ABC, Any Boy Can. He would take kids off the street and teach them, you know, the right things to do, and you know, instead of getting in trouble, and told them how to exercise and how to be real men. So he was more than just a fighter. You know, he was darn good. And in 1958, that's another thing. In 1958, he defended his crown in December against Von Durrell. Now this fight is very dear to me because when I came out of foster homes and everything like this, and came to live with my parents, my real parents, in 1958. And we got a TV in December of 1958. So, make a long story short, my father, you know, he would always brag about Archie Moore.
Right.
You know, so we watched the fight that night. And at the end of the first round, you know, Moore was down three times. And I go to him, I says, "That's the fighter you think is great?" You know, here I'm like 10 years old at the time. And so he says, I remember him saying, he says, "Well, the fight's not over yet." And lo and behold, Moore came back and stopped, you know, Von Durrell in the 11th round and defended his title. And that fight, you know, was voted the fight of the decade of the 1950s and actually got me, you know, interested in boxing. I said, "Wow, you know, this is great." Of course, I haven't seen, didn't see another fight like that until maybe Corrales fight, you know, years gone by. But, I mean, that kind of drew me in, you know, with Archie Moore. Of course, he played in films and Huckleberry Finn and everything.
A quick question. That nickname, Archie Moore had a nickname.
Yeah, the old Mongoose.
Yeah, how did
about? He fought. A mongoose used to, like, wait on their prey, like there was a snake or something like this. The snake would strike, but he would just, like, counterpunch. He'd be sly and everything like this. So they thought, you know, that was the way Archie Moore fought. You know, he wasn't, let's say, a real crowd pleaser as a fighter, but he used his brains just like a mongoose would. And, you know, he would counter, let's say, you know, the guy coming in or something like this. And, you know, he would bait them in with that turtle defense and everything like this. And, you know, he'd strike them.
Defense, right, with his arms crossed.
Yeah, some
you
people
know,
call it turtle defense. Other people
yeah,
call it the log cabin, you know. You know, but, you know, he was known even for the shoulder roll. You know, he rolled
shoulder,
the shoulders and everything like this. So, you know, he was, like I said, he was voted as, I think, one of the greatest light heavyweight champions that ever lived. The only guy that really had his number in that division was Ezra Charles. You know, he fought Ezra Charles three times, and Charles beat him all three times. One of the fights was pretty close, but the other two, you know, Charles, you know, of course, Charles became the heavyweight champion of the world, too. So, but, you know, when you're going down to the
be credit for Ezra Charles was a great fighter, too, in his own right.
Oh, yeah. Ezra Charles, you know, pound for pound, he probably rates in the top 10 of all time. I mean, you know, a couple of things changed his career, and one that he killed a guy. That kind of, you know, put him back a little bit. And then when he was knocked out by Jersey Joe Walcott in the seventh round, you know, he kind of, you know, he really wasn't the same after that fight. But you're right. Ezra Charles, you know, Burt Sugar rated him as the greatest light heavyweight of all time. Not light heavyweight champion because he was never the champion. But, you know, he was also rated in middleweight, light heavyweight and heavyweight divisions, just like Archie Moore. So,
what was his record, Henry? What was Archie Moore's final record as through research? I know they keep finding different little fights that he has, but of record, about what is his record? I know he had a lot of fights.
Well, you know, it depends on what source you go by. Again, you know, if you go by Box Records, 186 wins, 23 losses, 10 draws. That's 220 fights. Yeah, I think it was one no contest. 132 knockouts. If you go by, let's say, Ring Record Book, in their last record book, he had a total of 215 fights with 129 knockouts. But there's other ones that'll. Even if you go into the International Boxing Hall of Fame website, on their article, it'll say. He knocked out more than 141 opponents. On the side,
yeah.
It has knockouts 130. So even on the same article, it's not right. You know. So I've heard as little as 129, and as most of 145. But a lot of them bouts like 145, they were actually they call them semi-pro fights. You know, they were amateur fights, and, you know, they were counted in on his record. So now we have – go ahead.
In closing, we got 90 seconds because we're being cut short this day with our – to the hour show, 30-minute show. In closing, what do you want to say about Archie Moore?
Well, Archie Moore was a marvel. Like, he should have been champion, like, 10 years before. Because, like I said, he was first rated in 1940. Nobody would give him a shot. You know, I mean, that was the era. You know, he was a black fighter, and there was very few, except for maybe Henry Armstrong and, you know, Sugar Ray Robinson and Joe Louis. You know, I guess they didn't want another one. And, you know, they never gave him a shot. There were talk about him and Sugar Ray Robinson matching each other, but it never came about. Now Robinson, he fought Maxim for the light heavyweight championship of the world, and my reason is that he fought him because Robinson was a great boxer, and Maxim, he didn't have much of a punch, so he could outbox Maxim. Now Archie Moore, he was a very good boxer too.
Well, 10 seconds closing, Henry. Sorry to cut you off. You're going to hold that point. My name is Aaron Snow. Well, they call me the Trainer of Champions. Also in studio, we have the radio aficionado, Bob Murray, and our boxing historian, Henry Haskopf, with doing Archie Moore. We're sorry to have to cut you short, Henry. Great tales, great history. We're going places for 2018. Tune in the next Saturday to the World Boxing Review Radio. Thank you for tuning in.
Thank you. Bye.
Yeah.